Well, hello everybody and welcome to episode number 81 of the JB Sism Show. Today, I'm going to take your goals to the next level with a 10-minute technique. And I'm going to give you three benefits of why you and I write.
Do you have a message to share and wonder, how do I get heard? Broadcasting from the land of 10,000 lakes, welcome to the JB Sism Show. This show will motivate you with clarity and help you find your voice so you can take your message to the next level. Now, here's your host, Jason Sism.
And taking everything to the next level is exactly what I love to do each and every week here at jbsism.com. Well, my friends, welcome to the JB Sism Show. My name is Jason Sism, and this show will give you the tools that you need so that you can transform lives and reach the world with your message. Well, when you think of the new year, what do you normally think? Well, we think New Year's resolutions. We all try them, but when the rubber meets the road, we find ourselves giving up after just a couple of weeks. Well, in today's episode, I want to unpack and take some time to see what it takes to write down our goals and see them come to fruition. I'm going to give you the exact template that I use every year to write down my yearly goals and how I work to accomplish them by year's end. Well, my friends, I have a great show in store for you. We have all of that and more. That's right, I'm going to be talking about the ABCs of blogging yet again. So sit back, buckle your seatbelts, because this show is about to get started. And as always, it is good to be sitting back behind the microphone. And it has been a crazy busy week. Actually, a busy 8 to 10 days. Last week, I had many late nights. I had something going on last Monday night because, well, I was busy at work, working on the church's website, and I couldn't get away from the desk. I didn't get home until about 7 o'clock last Monday, and then Tuesday night, we have a daycare that rents from the church facility, and they asked me to run sound for them, so I didn't get home until sometime after 7 o'clock, actually maybe a little bit later than that. And then I ended up recording last week's episode on last Tuesday night. So that was a late night. I didn't go to bed till about midnight. And Wednesday night, again, I blew something up on the church website, and I had to rebuild one of the pages from the ground up. I can't tell you how incredibly difficult that really was. But, oh well, it's done, it's in the past, and the website actually looks better than it did before I blew it up. So that was that, and then I had worship practice Thursday night, and you can just imagine, it was a busy, busy few days. Well, last night we had our monthly Writers Guild meeting for the Twin Cities. The Minnesota Christian Writers Guild meets every second Monday of the month from September through May. And it's kind of an interesting story. Go back about a month ago. The president of the guild, I sit on the board of directors as the web and social media director, but the president of the guild gets an email from one of our speakers and they say, I can't make it for the December meeting. Now, you can imagine that threw us into a tizzy, not knowing what to do next. We didn't know where to look to find a new speaker. But the funny thing is, maybe it's not funny, but it kind of is funny. God works it all out in the end. And Beverly, who is the guild president, she sent an email off to an organization looking for a speaker. The email gets lost in cyberspace. She gets an email from our speaker saying they can't make it the organization finally gets her email. Now, the funny thing about that, it was about a year and a half ago she sent that email, and they finally got it just a month ago. Crazy. Well, they did a lot of emailing, meeting back and forth, and finally we got her speaker last night. And so, in the end, God worked it all out together for the good. And that's why I'm talking about what I'm talking about today. I mentioned that I want to give you three benefits to why we write, and his whole topic last night was really focusing on the area of writing down our story and writing our story to help people succeed in their lives. Write our story to help broadcast the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian writer, then that part of this isn't going to apply to you. But when I get into the three points, you can use these and use them for yourself as well. But the whole goal for us as writers is to broadcast a message out into the world and to help people live better lives. That's why we write. That's why I have this blog at jbcism.com. And in fact, about a week ago, I get an email from a pastor's wife, and she was telling me the story of how God has placed all of these circumstances in her life, and she's now using these circumstances from her life to begin writing her memoir. And so she emailed me asking for some advice, letting me know. She joined my email newsletter list, and that's why I write. I write to help people find their voice and succeed in life. My goal is to help you get your message out into the world that needs to hear your message. That's why I write what I write. And I came up with these three ideas of why we write, these three benefits of writing. Well, the first one is we write to encourage. We write to encourage. In other words, we write to encourage others to see beyond themselves. I mean, I think back to this last election, and I think about all the different news stories that have come out about all of these millennials who are rioting the streets because Hillary Clinton lost. And you have people who are afraid because Donald Trump won. And I look at that and I could say, yeah, I think that's, you know, a little bit of depression in there, but I mainly look at some of that and I say the world is full of hopelessness. In other words, I think people are looking for something outside of themselves to give them hope. People are looking for somebody to step up and say, hey, everything is going to be okay. You just have to have a little faith. You just have to have a little trust in the system, trust in God, trust in yourself. And I think so many people can't see beyond the hopelessness that they're living in. And I think this is why we write. We write to help encourage other people to start living better lives. We write to help people see life through a new lens. And so when I'm writing my blog posts, when I'm writing a book, I want to help open the eyes of people to help them see beyond themselves, to help them see that, yeah, there is hope out there, and yeah, I can be encouraged to start living life. And if we can encourage people to start living life and see that life is more than just the circumstances that happen around them, life in a sense is what you make it, and life is what you do and the mindset that you have about your future. And if we can help people with that and encourage people through the words that we write, I think we're going to be in a much better place as a society. So we write to encourage people. Secondly, we write to enrich lives. We write to enrich. So we write to encourage, help people see beyond themselves, help people live lives better, live lives to the full, and then we enrich people's lives. I mean, life is full of disappointments, and I mean, think about the last project that you did. Did you succeed at it or did you fail at it? If you failed at it, you realize, well, that didn't go as planned. And there are so many things that happen in our lives that just simply don't go as planned. I bought my first house in 2006. And I was super, super excited when I bought my house in 2006. I was 25 years old. Never done that before. Biggest purchase I had ever made. Well, you fast forward 6 years later, and I lose the house to foreclosure. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I took a massive pay cut at work. Secondly, I just wasn't very fiscally responsible and financially responsible, and so I ended up eating mud, eating dirt, because I didn't know how to control my finances. I didn't know how to control some of my spending. And I put myself into a situation that I really couldn't get out of. Well, at the time I found out I was losing my house, I was newly engaged, and that was the hardest phone call I ever had to make, was to my future wife and say, I have bad news. I'm not going to have a house for us to live in when we get married. Now, did that mean we're not going to have a place to live? No, it just meant I'm not going to have a place for us to live once we get married. And so life is full of disappointments. Life is full of frustrations. Here I was with a trash credit, no home for us to start our life in, and I felt that I had failed miserably as a man. I had felt I had failed as a future husband, felt I had failed as an individual. But even though life is full of disappointments, even though we try to set our New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year and then find that we fail at them 2 weeks later from the initial onset of starting them, as writers, we have the ability to help enhance somebody's life by improving the value that they see in themselves. And that's what our written words can do. Our written words, or if you're doing a podcast, your spoken word can help enrich somebody's life. In a sense, you're helping pull them out of a pit of despair, and you're pulling them into a life that is better than what they are imagining for themselves. And so we're pulling people up, and we're lifting them out of the miry clay through our words. And we're giving people hope, we're giving people encouragement, and we're helping people turn their lives around to live better and see life through a new lens. And so once people are encouraged, once people are enriched, we can then take everything, in a sense, to the next level, and then we write, and this is number three, we write to empower these people. We write to empower them. Why? Because people feel powerless. People don't feel that they are in control of their lives. And so our writing will help give not only people hope, but through our writing, we can give people the power to see beyond themselves and begin looking into the future. We want to give people that power to look into the future and say, there is a destiny that God has placed on my life. And as especially as believers in Jesus, for Christians, when we write, our goal is to empower people to help them see that God has given them authority over their lives, and God has given them authority to help them see life have, life have a positive outcome. And that's why we write. We write to help people see beyond themselves. We help people be empowered to take life by the horns and really dive deep into their soul so that they can lift themselves up, so that their life can be enhanced, so that they can have an improved value and see that they have value, they have hope, and they have the power to make the life of their dreams. And so this is why for the last couple weeks now, I've been really talking about the importance of writing down our goals, the importance of actually making goals for ourselves. So as a writer, you got to make goals to see your future go to the next level. But on top of that, the importance of writing down our goals, the importance of writing down our goals will give us a better outlook on life. And so I want to take just the next couple of minutes here, and I want to talk about this writing down of our 2017 goals. We're nearing the end of 2016. We know the year is coming to a quick conclusion here, and we want to begin taking the time in the next couple of weeks and actually start actually fleshing out what it is we want to see in the future, what it is we want to see when we get to this point next year. Because we don't want to be looking back next year and say, I haven't moved myself one niche or one little notch forward or one little tick forward in the last 12 months. And I think so many times, and we do that, we do ourselves a disservice by setting New Year's resolutions. Now, I am not a big believer in New Year's resolutions. Now, the reason why I say that is I think New Year's resolutions are a cop-out for truly seeing a change in our lives. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I have known. Where they have said, "Well, I'm going to quit smoking this year." And so January 1 comes around and they say, "I'm going to quit smoking, but I'm going to start after the New Year's." Well, why are you starting after the New Year's? Why not just start now? But then once they start their New Year's resolution, quote unquote, they don't last. They find it too difficult. They just give up on it altogether. And then they say, well, I gave it a good go and I made it further than I did last year. But is that really the attitude that we want to have when it comes to writing down our goals? So what's the importance of writing down our goals? Well, number one, written goals give us the power to see what our future can look like. A written goal can give us the power of what our future can look like. So when you actually take the time and you say, okay, I'm going to write down goals for each of the major areas of my life. I'm going to write a goal for my marriage. I'm going to write a goal for my parenting. I'm going to write a goal for my intellect. I'm going to write a goal for my finances. I'm going to write a goal for my vocation. I'm going to write a goal for my avocation, so which is your hobby, something outside of your work and family. I'm going to write a goal for my relationships in life. I'm going to write a goal for my next book. You know, whatever your major goals are, when we begin to give power to these goals by writing them down, we can actually see what the future is going to hold for us when we get there. So when you write them down, you're in a sense peeling back a curtain and looking into the future. You're saying, this is what my life is going to be like next year, at the end of next year. This is what my life is going to look like. This is what I'm going to have accomplished. So written goals give us the power to see what the future looks like. Number two, when we write our goals, they give us a path to follow. So when we write our goals, they give us a path to follow. In other words, if you can't see where you're headed and you can't see what your end destination is going to be, you're not going to know where to begin, and you're not going to know where you're going to end. Think about Google Maps. You put in the address to a friend's house. Maybe you've never been there before, so you put the address in. In fact, my wife and I were just at a pastor friend's house. Their daughter just graduated from college, and so we went to congratulate her on her accomplishment of her bachelor's degree and her other two associate degrees. So we went and encouraged her and just, you know, said congratulations on this huge accomplishment and moving your life forward. And I had never been to their house before, which is kind of funny because I've known Dennis and his wife for a very long time. So never been to their house till, well, just this last weekend. Well, I had to write in their address into the Google Maps app on my phone. And then it asked me to put in my starting destination. So I find it interesting. Google Maps knows that we put in the end result first, and then we put in our starting destination. And so when we're writing our goals, we are, in a sense, writing down a path for us to follow. We start with the end in mind. So in other words, they give us the power to see what the future looks like. We start with the end in mind, and then we work backwards, and we go to our starting point, and then we know turn by turn what we need to do to get to our destination. And the great part is, if you come to a roadblock and you make a wrong turn, it goes recalculating route. And it moves you to a new route, and you continue on, and you eventually get to your destination. So in other words, when you write down your goals, you have an idea of where you're going to go. You have an idea of where you want to end up. But when you write them down, it doesn't mean you're not going to encounter issues. It doesn't mean you're not going to encounter trials and hardship and bumps along the way. You just adjust your course and you keep marching forward to your end result. Hold on, let me get something to drink. I'm not editing today's episode, so bear with me. So, number three, so how do we write our goals down? What does it take to actually write down our goals? Now, I made the big announcement at the beginning that you can take your goals to the next level with this 10-minute technique. Now, it might take you a little more than 10 minutes. You can get the first bullet point list out in about 10 minutes. And that's pretty cool. You can say, you know, this is kind of the general idea I want for each of the major areas. Now, last week I was saying you should have no more than about 7 to at the most 10 goals. 10 can be kind of ambitious. I would say if you are just starting out in writing down goals for a new year, I would say take a back seat and do about 5 to 7 goals. 5 to 7 big goals that you want to accomplish. So, how do we begin writing down our goals? Well, this is where a note-taking application really comes in handy. The note-taking app that I use is a note app called Evernote. You've heard me talk about Evernote a bunch of times, and if you just go to jbcism.com, go to the search bar, and just type in Evernote, you're going to come up with several blog posts that I've written on the topic. Also, I have a cloud, a tag cloud on the website, so all you have to do is just go to the website and just click on Evernote, and that'll bring up all of the posts that I've written or tagged Evernote on. So, now there's a couple ways you can do that. Evernote is a great app because I can have this app on any device. And I actually pay for the premium subscription. That way I can have it on my computer. I can have it on all of my tablets. I have about 3 tablets in my household right now. I have my wife's tablet, which I have Evernote on. I have my Amazon Kindle tablet, which I have Evernote on. And then I have my work tablet. Well, it's not a work tablet. I guess it is a work tablet. I don't use it a whole lot, but I do have Evernote on it. This is what I use all of the music for the podcast. And that's the app I use. And Evernote is a great, great app that I can use all the time on any device. And so I just open Evernote up. So what I did is I had about 9 goals last year. One of my goals was I wanted to lose 25 pounds. Now I said by June 1st, I didn't quite make that one. However, I did start that. I'm down about 10 pounds now, and I am only about 4 weeks into this. So by the time I get to January of next year, I might be down about 15 pounds. So in a sense, I accomplished part of the goal. It took me longer to get there than I wanted, and I really wasn't too serious. I was procrastinated on it, and that's a whole nother topic, which we're not going to get into procrastination today, but maybe one of these days I'll get into procrastination. But the other one was write a book on priorities, which I have a rough outline done of that. I haven't started actually writing the book yet. I've been blogging most of it. So any blog posts that you've seen on priorities and goal setting and all of that, that is kind of what some of that is. So I've been working towards that. I took a sabbatical this year. That was my 3rd goal that I really wanted to do. I took a sabbatical and finished that by my deadline, which was August 31st. And I was on sabbatical for about 6 weeks. So that was great. I loved it. It helped me kind of focus my life. Number 4 was put a family vacation on the books. And I did that. We got our family vacation in. And I wanted to just have that available. Attend a conference. And I did that. I attended a conference this year. And that was exactly what I needed. It was something that was very, very refreshing to me in my spirit. So I attended a conference, so I accomplished that goal. The other one was grow my email list to 1,000 subscribers. Well, I didn't do very good on that one, and that's because, again, I procrastinated, and I just gave up on that goal. And that was probably my fault. should have done more to that, and kind of now we're at the end of the year, and I've done too little too late. But there you go. I had another goal. Have two articles published in a major magazine. Well, I didn't quite get into a major print magazine, but I did get a post written in the Huffington Post. So that was a huge accomplishment for me. I got one post in. I didn't get two of them into the Huffington Post. Maybe before January 1st comes around, I might get a second one into the Huff Post. But, you know, that's pretty good. That's, you know, that's a huge, huge accomplishment. I had a goal of writing and launching an online course. Well, I have all the pieces in place. I just haven't videoed the course yet. I have most of it written. I just haven't videoed it. So I've come close to that one. So we're getting there. And then my ninth goal was read 26 books by December 31st. Well, I didn't quite get 26 books written. Not written. Holy cow, that would have been insane. but I did get four books written. Gosh, why do I keep saying that? And I'm not editing today's episode, so I'm leaving that in. Four books read. And I've started... How many other books did I start? Oh, yeah, I started about another eight books, and I accomplished about 15% in each of those books. So, well, there you go. So, I didn't quite get that one accomplished, but if you really take a look at it, I did my sabbatical. I did my vacation. I attended a conference. I had at least one article published. I didn't read 26 books, but I did read four. You know, I didn't lose 25 pounds, but I did around 10. So, I accomplished a lot of the goals that I set out to do. And so, when you take the time to actually write down your goals, you can look back at them and you can just say, okay, this is what I'm aiming for. I want to keep that at the forefront of my mind. So how do we write down our goals? How do we get there? Well, number one, we have to write down a key motivation. Write down a key motivation of what you want to accomplish. So what are your key motivations? In other words, why is this goal important to you? So this is where we can write a bullet point list, and we write down 3 to 5 key motivations. So one bullet point for each motivation. And so you want to tell yourself, this is the goal that I'm pursuing. This is why this goal is so vitally important to me. And you write down in a bullet point list your key motivation. So what I did in my, let's say I just opened up my lose 25 pounds this year. So why is this goal important? Here are my 3 to 5 motivations. One, my motivation is my overall health. I want to have a better health, a healthier life. I need to bring my cholesterol levels down. My doctor was yelling at me, so I needed to bring my cholesterol levels down. Number three, I wanted to lose weight and start becoming fit. And number four was I needed to control the sleep apnea that I might have. And if I lost weight, I would easily be able to have better sleep. And in other words, I wouldn't end up stopped, you know, myself from breathing. So write down your key motivations. Write down each item of why you want to do what you want to do. So like my sabbatical, my key motivations were I needed time to refresh. I needed to take time to spend with Amelia. I wanted to start writing a book. I wanted to take time to draw closer to the heart of God. And I wanted to seek the Lord's face for the next chapter of my life. And those were my key motivations for taking a sabbatical. So why is the goal important to you? Write those down. Number two, write down your next action steps. So what is the next action? What specific action do you need to take to move the needle forward so you can achieve your goal? So in other words, you just, again, this is a bullet list. You don't want to get bogged down with excessive planning. You just want an overall picture. You don't have to have the whole path. You just are identifying the next action that is sufficient for you to accomplish. Once you do that, then you can start writing down your next action. So going back to my sabbatical, my next action steps were, well, I had to get board approval, which I did. I had to schedule the sabbatical. I had to start writing my book. I had to work on building the online business, taking everything that I'm doing at jbsism.com to the next level. And those were kind of the main goals that I wanted to do. Put a family vacation on the list. So what did I have to do? I had to get a vacation scheduled. I had to decide where we were going, decide how much we were going to spend. I had to book the hotel or resort, plan the activities, shop for the necessary items, and then finally just simply go on vacation. You know, the next steps for reading 26 books was read books that inspire, read books that relax, and read books that encourage. So in other words, it's a bullet list. So what do you need to do to take and move yourself closer to achieving the goal? Write those down. Number three is create a progress report. In other words, how are you doing? Track your progress by indicating the dates and the key measurements, milestones, or just simply write a random note. So in other words, how are you doing at accomplishing your goals? What are you doing to move the needle forward? You know, for losing weight, it was to start, you know, I wrote down that I was starting to change my eating habits. And that was kind of one of the big progress reports. I'm changing my eating habits so that I'm not eating out at McDonald's. I'm not eating pizza. I'm not eating fried food. I'm eating healthy food, food that's going to help me lose weight and boost my metabolism. And so you want to take the time each week, or at least maybe every other week or once a month, and track your report, track your progress of how you're doing on setting your goals. And then finally, number four is create some random notes. So what are you noticing? What do you want to remember? So in other words, you can use this as a journal, and you can write down your thoughts, write down your notes, write down your journaling of, and not just your progress report, but write down how you're feeling, write down how your family is doing with some of your goals. And when you can do some of that, when you take this template, so your key motivations, your next steps, your progress report, and random notes, you take that as a template, you can start fleshing out your written goals. So now that our goals are written, what do? Well, we have to refer to our written goals weekly. This is going to help hold us accountable. This is going to allow us to remain focused. And this is going to give us permission to adjust our lives if needed. So refer to them weekly so that you can have a better idea of where you're going in your life. Because if you don't know where you're going to be lost on the journey. So in other words, goals are setting the end destination in mind and then working backwards and starting at the beginning of what you need to do to get to where you need to go. And when you do that, my friends, you're going to have a successful year. So, speaking of setting goals, last week I completely spaced and forgot about the ABCs of blogging. I got to work last Wednesday, and I don't know, I have this habit after I record, after I've edited, after I've uploaded it, and the show has gone live and you're already listening to it, I have this habit of listening to myself after it's gone live, just, I think, because I wanted to make sure that the whole episode went live for whatever reason. But I get to the end of the episode last week and it dawns on me that I completely forgot about the ABCs of blogging. Now, about 3 weeks ago, I started the ABCs of blogging, and I started with the A's. Then I moved on to the B's, and I never did the C's. So, we are back in action. This week, we are focusing on the C's of blogging. The C's of blogging. I actually have several of them here for you. I got about five of them here. So I'm kind of excited about today's list. The last one we did on episode 79. So you can go to jbsism.com/079 and you can get caught up on the B's. Or you can go all the way back to episode 77. So jbsism.com/077. And you can start from the beginning of our ABCs of blogging, which is a glossary that I'm putting together, and probably by the end of this, I might actually put together a small ebook that has all of these and their definitions included. So that'll be kind of cool, kind of fun, and I don't know if it's going to be an actual ebook or if it's going to be a blog post. We'll see. So this week, we are blogging on the C's. So the first word in our C category is community. Community. A blog is a community of people. This is a place where your audience can connect with you. This is a place where you can connect with your audience. And we do that through our comment section. We do that through linking to our social media accounts like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Maybe Snapchat if you're using that. But our blog is a community, and if we focus our attention on building our community, we're going to have a lot of trust built up between all of us, and we're going to have a much more happy and thriving environment. So remember that your blog is not just a monologue, but it's a conversation. And so we are needing to facilitate community with that. So keep that in mind when you're writing your next blog post. The second one in the C category is Canva.com. Canva.com. Now, this is probably one of the greatest blogging tools that I think I've ever used. Now, if you're a regular blogger, you know that finding the proper and the perfect images for each of your blog posts is a very exhaustive and daunting task. And in fact, sometimes you can spend as much as $100 a month just on images for your blog. Now, I have spent that much. Doesn't mean you have to, but I have. Now, Canva.com is a great place where for $1 an image, and then you can add text and beautify it and add your own branding to it if you want. But for $1 an image, you can download a blog post image. And it conveys the meaning of that particular blog post. Now, you don't have to pay for them. They have a lot of free options. Now, it just means you're going to be looking like everybody else out there. But there's a lot of free options out there that you can utilize. Or if you have images that you want to recycle that you have on your picture folder on your computer, you can upload these images to Canva.com and you can create blog images and you can download images for your blog for free. Canva is free unless you want to pay for it, and I've done both. So Canva.com, it's a free account to sign up. They also have a Canva for work. If you want to pay for that, you can, but I just use the free version and it's good enough for me. The third word in our C category is, well, categories. Now, categories are how you organize a blog post. Now, if you go to jbcism.com, you're going to see several things. You're going to see the header, which has my logo. You're going to see my menu, which has home, about, etc. You're going to see a big, lovely picture about my ebook, Ready, Set, Publish. And I'll explain that book in just a moment. But underneath that header image, just above the blog posts, I have another menu that has five options. These are categories. These are the five categories that I write in. So I write about writing. I write about productivity. I write about personal development. I write about social media. And I write about leadership. These are the five things that you, my audience, wanted me to focus on this year. And these are the five categories that I'm remaining focused on right now. And we'll see what happens with next year's survey. But a category is simply that. It's a category of blog posts that are written in the same vein. And so if you click on, say, the writing category, it's going to bring up all of the blog posts that deal with writing. So some of the latest posts that I have is how to take the headache out of writing a novel, episode 79 of the JB Sism Show, why blogging isn't about the money. Another one was design a winning ebook cover without hiring a designer. Another one, episode 77 of the JB Sism Show, was write your book in 30 days. 7 steps you can take to getting your first draft written. So those are the blog posts within the writing category. So a category allows you to organize your blog posts into subgroups. And it's a great way to help people navigate your website to find the content that they want. And so that brings us to number 4, and that is content. Well, you can't have a blog without content. So this is what you create to put on your blog. A blog isn't a blog without high-quality content. You can't have one without actually writing a blog post and posting it out there for the world to see, or putting out a podcast episode. You know, that is content that I'm creating for you to consume. And so content on a blog is just something that you create so that your audience can consume. See all these wonderful C words I'm finding? Content to create so they can consume. There's two extra C's there for you. Create and consume. But anyway, so that's what content is. And then finally, number five is collaborate. Some blogs are collaborations. Now, I write for a couple collaborated blogs. One is morethanabeard.com. Actually, I haven't written for them in a little while, but it's a collaboration blog where several writers will write for them. Another one is crosswalk.com. That's a great website. A lot of people write for that blog as well. I think one of the most popular ones that I am now writing for is the Huffington Post. That's a prime example of a collaborated blog where people write their stories and get them published. So that's what that is all about. So anyway, I hope you enjoy these ABCs of blogging. I'm going to continue all of these until we get to the lovely Z, or as our friends in New Zealand and Australia call it, the lovely Zed. Well, my friends, I want to say thank you so much for listening to today's episode. You can find the full show notes by going to my website at jbsism.com/081. And my friends, if you enjoyed today's episode, I want you to go out and tell somebody and share the show with them. Share it on social media. Because my goal each week is to bring a message of clarity by giving you the tools that you need so you can transform lives and reach the world with the message that's on your heart. And my friends, next week we're going to continue the ABCs of blogging. And also next week is going to be the last episode of the new year. It's an episode you're not going to want to miss. Well, my friends, head over to jbsism.com and subscribe to the weekly newsletter. You're not going to want to miss that newsletter. You can get every blog post, every podcast episode in your inbox. Until next week, I'm Jason Sism. We'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for listening. This has been the JB Sism Show. You can find the archives of the show at jbsism.com or on iTunes. Don't forget to visit jbsism.com to download a special ebook when you sign up for the free newsletter. You'll get new episodes, updates, and so much more. This podcast is copyright Jason Sism and Sism Enterprise, all rights reserved. Until next week, stay motivated with clarity, take your message to the next level, and find success in your family, ministry, and life.